the time, here's little old dad. But you know what? You have to instill respect. Well, let's just tell it all. My lands. He decided that he didn't want to stay home at night sometime, but he knew he couldn't go out, so he'd been raised his window, and he'd be climbing out the window at night.
Whoa.
Yeah. But what? So about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, a neighbor calls me and says, "You know Jeremy's down here?" No, I thought he was asleep. And I thought, when I get him, he's going to sleep. You know what I'm talking about. At least that's the thought when they wake you out of sleep. So I take my flashlight and I go outside. There's all kind of shoe prints on the siding where he'd slide down the siding, you know, and get out through there. So I just call the house and say, "Jeremy, come on home, son." Oh, no. He's caught. So I said, you know, I talked to him when he come in. I said, "I tell you, let's make a deal what's going to happen. Old dad's going to be up during the night and I'm going to be..." See, you have to, as a parent, we have to do this. You have to love your children enough you're willing to get up and go check on them, make sure they're there if they start pulling stuff like this. Because they say they're not watching the wrong things on their computers. Don't believe them. See, somebody said, "Oh, no, I've..." It's okay to check. You're mom and dad. You own the joint. You bought the computer for them. It's yours. Don't let them tell you, "Well, that's my computer. You keep your hands off of that." Say, "The day you walk out the door and you go buy your own, then I'll keep my hands off of it." We've got to get, I'm normal here. This is the right thing to do. God holds you accountable for that. So I was really overdone. I was a little young at that time, and I'm not sure if I was in the ministry or not, but it doesn't make any difference if I was. It's still the way it went. So I'll be checking on you in the middle of the night. Don't you dare close that door and lock it. If I find that door is locked, I'll just kick it right open. I'm coming in that door. He didn't dare say, "Well, that's my room, you can't come in." I'd thrown him out of the room then. Somebody not with me. He's almost out on his own at that point in time. So as a young man, sometime you've got to do it. He understood, but anyway, he just said, "Well, you know," I said, "I'll tell you what you do. I'll be checking on you. And if I find that you're gone out of the room, I will wait in your room until you come back." You don't want to hear this, do you?
Yeah.
Right? No, a preacher shouldn't say it, should he? No, he's saying, "Go ahead. Now look at it, because it's me." Yeah, you're not going to talk about what you, maybe you. I just happened to say, since I was a carpenter, I have a lot of two-by-fours around, so I couldn't help myself. And I said, "I'll wait till you get just inside that window."
Yes.
And I've always loved to play baseball. I said, "I've got a short guy, but I've got a good swing. I'll do my best not to hit you in the wrong place, but I'll get you just about the chest, and I'll knock you out in those woods about 30 feet. I said, "What do you think? Are we going to have to do that?" He said, "No, Dad, you're not going to have to do that." "Do you think I will?" "I know you will." That was the end of it. You see, I never had any more problems. Didn't have to lay a hand on him. But another time we was talking about, he acted up again, so I said, "Jeremy, whipping, come on." I'm looking up at him. He's looking at me like, "Dad, you got to be kidding. I'm too old." I said, "You're never too old when you live in this house."
Yes.
But you know what? Took his hand. I said, "Jay, I'm going to pray with you." We knelt down. We had prayer together. I thanked God for him, not his disobedience. Not because I told him plainly, like my dad bid me, "If you do this, this is what you will get." I said, "Jay, why did you do it? I don't want to do this." "But you knew. And have I always kept my word?" He said, "Always." I said, "I'm going to keep it now." We had prayer together. I thank God for him, for a good son, even though he's disobedient, still loved him like God loves us when we're disobedient. Like he chastises us and spanks us once in a while. And then we got up, and I commenced to beat the daylights out of him. When you have that belt and you double it, don't you tell. It wasn't no little feather. It wasn't no little spoon. Don't kid your kid. Don't tease them. Oh. My dad said a good whipping's worth 1,000 pecks. Peck makes a child mad. That makes them mad and angry. When they start feeling a little bit of heat back there, they're not trying to get even. They're trying to get out of there. And very interesting, when I got done giving him his shellacking, He turned around, he looked at me, he went. It was settled. Isn't that nice? See, he had respect. He didn't have to take that. He was too big to take it. But he did out of love and respect, knowing he had done the wrong thing. Knowing this was what's going to happen. God tells us this is what's happening. This is what's happening to the church. This is what's happening in the home. This is what's happening to the family. And then we have other issues that we'll talk about quickly as we go. What I also like about mixed churches and black and white and so on, sometimes they go for 2 and 3 hours at a time on Sabbath. Hello? Services are longer. White folks want to get in there and, you know, take up the offering and say amen and go. Think about this with us. It's important. Notice what happened. How come these changes? Approximately, listen carefully, because changes are developed in the home and children's thinking and our thinking and everything. Approximately 1 in 100 women and 2 in 100 men identify themselves as homosexuals. Are you still with me? 4% as bisexual. So if you're one today or whatever, God loves you, but you don't love what you're doing. Okay? I'm not going to make excuses for that. The Bible is clear about the choice of lifestyle. It's abomination, the Bible said. But what has society done? They approve of it. And laws are passed. Yes. Legalization. Legal, as it were. Same as, you know, we're talking about same-sex marriage now. It's okay, they say. This shows an obvious trend toward acceptance and tolerance of the LGBTs. We know that. Give you a few more statistics quickly. I think this is kind of heavy duty to me. 28%. 28% of young people 18 through 29. That hits some of you here. Of course, we know you're not in this. Or you wouldn't have voted this way. 18 to 29 years of age agree that gay and lesbian couples raising children is a good thing. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm working up a sweat. We can squabble all we want, even if some of you disagree with that, but you're disagreeing with God's Word, not disagreeing with me. And if we want to line up, this is what we will do. If we don't want to line up, you may choose to do what you want to do. But notice, this is in the survey. They agree that raising children is a good thing between gay and lesbian. Remember, it starts in the home. Good or bad for our young folks, it starts where? In the home. So what do you think about these children then? Boy, 61% of Americans agree gay and lesbians shall be legally allowed to adopt. 61% of Americans say that it's okay for them to adopt. What kind of thinking would develop in the mind of that child living in that kind of relationship? Think about it. We have to think about why. Because God set it up different. We won't have time to get a whole lot into that, but God set it up different than that. 78% agree that the partners of gay and lesbian should be entitled to inheritance rights. So, in other words, we want the same, but we're not the same. Huh. Because marriage constitutes a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says. And we're seeing trouble in the home is because why? The family tree. It's been shaken. Everything's going down. Why? Because we are drifting away from God's plan. And what do we expect? And I was kind of shocked at this one in 2010. It's worse now, as survey said, among Americans. Showed that almost half of Americans between the ages, again, of 18 and 29 thought that marriage was becoming obsolete. Wow. That's the thinking of many out there. Is it obsolete? The Bible doesn't say so. Society says so, the world says so, but who are you going to follow, the world or the Bible? Yeah, we have to. How important is it for us, for the family, which the family is a sanctified institution like marriage. Are you still with me? It needs to be preserved. But the world, as we look at it today, is an adverse environment for marriage and the family. It's awful out there. We've always said go back to the beginning to find out, and we read in Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it's not good that man should what? It's not good that man should be alone. But what happened? What is he going to do? I'm going to make it help meet for him. And then in Genesis chapter 2, I'm just going to read verses 21 and 22 as fast as we can. I'm going to turn there in my Bible. You'll have it up there, I'm sure, on the screen. But let's just look at this for a few more minutes together, because this really subject needs a whole lot more time, or somehow I can't get to it. But Genesis 2, verse 18 that we read there, what does it say? He did what? He caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. God was doing some surgery here, wasn't he?
Yes.
He's wanting to do some surgery on us too, and it's very, very important that we pay attention to this. And what else did he do? Notice sleep. And he took one of his ribs, Adam's ribs, right? He closed up the flesh. Man, what a surgeon. Isn't it, what a surgeon that God is. And then it's interesting here. It says here, he closed up, and the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman. Wow. He made a woman and brought her unto the man. So here we see, right, beyond a shadow of a doubt, all that we've talked about here, God's plan in the beginning before sin was man and woman. He made the man and he made the woman, and he took the woman and he brought her to the man and said, here you go. Repopulate. Two men can't repopulate anything. Two women can't repopulate anything. Is that true or not? Yes? Maybe a little touchy. People don't want to hear it, or maybe we don't want to talk about it sometime. But this had to be the perfect plan, because this is the way God did it. Many have identity crises. We talked about that. They just don't know whether they're male or female. Well, that's a predicament. That's a mess. If you haven't thought about it, that's probably pretty tough on them, if that be a reality. They just don't know. We talked about there, they don't know which bathroom to go into. As I said the other evening, the best thing to do is go into the one the way you were born. Amen. Quit fooling around somebody else's. Isaiah 43:10, the Bible becomes very clear. The family is to stand as representatives, as witnesses about Jesus. It says, ye are my, just pick that out, ye are my witnesses. 1 Samuel 2:30, quickly. It says, them that honor me, I will what? I will honor. The world needs to see more than human influence at work in the home. We need something else. God has a plan that we said, I will make him a helpmeet. Church, are we okay so far? We need to stand, we need to stretch, we need to run about. What do we need to do? Somebody need to shout? No. Well, we've got one thumb. We're going to go. That's all I needed. Yeah. A few more minutes. That's right. Yes, oh, I like that. Oh, some people just go, ooh. I will make a helpmeet for him. What does that mean? Quickly. What does that mean? See, each one of us have a role to play, and you know what? We need to be in our role. Yes. Quit trying to be in the other one's role. That's going against God and his plan. He said, I'll make a helpmeet for him. Helpmeet is not a single word spelled helpmeet. It's not helpmate, as it were. Helpmeet, the meet means a front. It means a part opposite. It means a counterpart. It does mean a mate. Now let's break it down where it gets a little bit clearer to us. The part opposite. God says, I made a woman, I made the part opposite. That simply means they're going to walk a little bit different. They're going to look a little bit different. They're not going to be the same. An interesting helpmeet on that simply means right here, they're going to be different from the front and the back. Yeah. This is what it means, the Word of God. So we have to dig and say, this is what God, He's making it so clear that we can't miss it. The home, the family has been devastated because of these things have come into the family and tore it wide open and tore the church and the cause of Christ plumb apart, and we stand back and say nothing. We don't want to talk about it because somebody may be offended. So simply, man's companion that God made, it wasn't good for him to be alone, that's a fact. Made him help me, absolutely. One that's going to be a little different, look a little different. But the person that you pick here, the helpmeet, is one that corresponds with you. We don't meet him one night and marry him the next day. We need to be, that word there means there needs to be a match. You need to match with your mate. You need to have things in common with your mate. And each, God said, would be suited for the other one's needs. How wonderful that is. They would be suited for the other. Sometimes we get too sick, we just worry about ourselves. Suited for the other's needs. Genesis 2, 21 and 22. Again, that God made he a woman and brought her where? Unto the man. Genesis 2, 21 and 22 we read. God created mankind in His image. We know that. And Genesis 1, 27 said He made them male and what? And female again. I think that becomes so clear to us. Adam and Eve were perfect, bearing the image of their Maker in the beginning. We know that. Then God said, go populate the earth. And I just brought out here that two men can't repopulate the earth. Two women can't. So something's not balanced here if we get away from God's plan. There's a reason. Another way, quickly, the enemy has come in and trying to tear the family apart. The Bible is clear on 2 Corinthians 6. We can't read all the verses 14 through 16. It says, be not ye unequally yoked. Did you get it? And how often we do that? We go let the eyes and the ears and everything else take over rather than the Word of God. Why? Because the devil knows this. He knows there'll be, you know, eruptions in the family all the time because maybe one wants to go here and the other wants to go to the other church. One wants to do here. Oh, they're a believer, they're a believer. They don't believe like you do. Unequally yoked together here. This is a trap. This is a snare of the enemy. It's ruined countless marriages, men and women. This passage of Scripture forbids all compromise, compromising partnerships. Just good common sense. I want you to think with me. Good common sense. Teach us that the happiness of the home can best be maintained if both are believers and really of the same faith. And I know what you're going to say. I've heard it many times. You had the privilege of marrying quite a few different people and so on and so forth. And they'll just say, well, I know they're not a believer now, but I tell you, when I get a hold of them, they're going to become a believer. Oh, come on now. Devil loves for you to say that. Oh, they'll change for me. They didn't change before you got married. And after they get married, they're probably not about to. I know it happens sometime, praise God. But the majority of the time, it does not happen. God knows that. Now, you say, well, what? Have you remember 1 Kings talks about Solomon? Remember about what happened to Solomon? 1 Kings 11, 4. It says, his wives turned his heart after other gods. Yes. Huh? Because he married where he shouldn't have married. He had other wives, and God said, don't go there and get them because it's going to cause problems. And you know it does in the home. And it's sad for, well, you, by yourself, a husband and wife, and the husband goes maybe one church and the wife goes to the other. Division and separation, it's not good. This is a family tree. You come to church as a family. And the family comes together as long as they live in that home. If they're 16, 17, 18, they still don't have a choice. Am I going to church? We just get up and go. That's the way I was raised. Yes. Never ask a question, do you want to? It was just automatic. See, but if you haven't been raised that way, you'll think that's ludicrous. Well, he's out of his mind and I'm not going to pay any attention to it. That makes for a happy home. This is what we need. God said he's got a rib. He's making woman. Huh. brought her into the man. God created the woman. Oh, wonderful. We often said, well, he didn't create woman from what? The feet so man could walk on her. Are you still there? Come on. Oh, ladies, all the ladies are going to get happy now, but I guarantee you, your time's coming. I'm not done with it just yet. This is what the Word says. Let's look at it. That's a fact. Not from the feet, not to be walked. But notice that, and he didn't create her from the head. Why? Yeah. That she might assume authority over him. No, I'll start. Now somebody's going to ooh me, all right. God knew what he was doing, didn't he? From the side, it says here. Now remember, it made it from the head. She might have tried to assume the authority that God gave to him. We know they were equal in the very beginning, weren't they? Till what? Till sin come. It doesn't mean just downplay it, because it simply said, God said, now, both of you, before sin, both could be on the same plane. If you have a house that's living for Jesus and you're both trying to live for Jesus, you can both have the authority. Both just work and they're all wonderful and good. But if it boils down to the very bottom line, the husband's supposed to wear the pants. Oh, I know. Now, you're so happy a while ago. What happened, ladies? He's not. Ladies, not the woman, not. The Bible, I'm telling you, is so wonderful because women are so precious that God compares them to his church. He doesn't compare men to the church, but women. They're so special, but they have their place. Man has his place, and we each need to be comfortable with that place. Because of sin, because she chose, she went where she wasn't supposed to. She was not to leave his side. She did. And after that, God said that, you know, in Genesis 3:16, Adam was going to be put in charge. Because he wasn't fooled. He just loved her too much. You know what love can do? We'll never know till we get to see the Garden of Eden, see how wonderful and perfect and beautiful, and see Jesus. So, Eve must have been something. Should I just leave it at that? The rest of you will get it. Must have been something. He must have loved her. He gave up everything. And if it wasn't a sacrifice, it would have been eternal life. Got kicked out of his home. He lost everything because he loved her more than he loved God. He didn't trust God. Christ recognizes marriage. It's a blessing, he said. There's principles that control the marriage. The head, the husband is the head of the wife in the Lord. You know, don't believe in God, or you're not going to church and you're not a Christian. Don't try to lord stuff over your wife. Shame on you. The Bible makes it plain here, in the Lord. And the husbands are to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's real love, isn't it? We need to love the way Christ said. Husband is to reflect Christ as head of the wife. Ephesians 5:23, the Bible said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? Of the church. There's no doubt about that, is there? He is the Savior of the body. Wow. Ephesians 5:24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's pretty hard, but it's not when you're a Christian. It's not when you know that you're loved. Your husband's not going to be unreasonable. He's not going to try to stomp on you and abuse you and make you do things you don't want to do. He's going to elevate you. He's going to love you. He's going to be the encourager. He's going to be the house band. He's going to hold it together when things seem like it's just not going to stay together, if he's the kind of man that God wants him to be. And it just to be a whole different way of looking at things here. Proverbs 31:10. I love this, and I'll just have to read it before we close. I know it's 1 o'clock and you're hungry. That's too bad. I love you all. You know that. And I feel a kindred spirit that I can talk like this with you. There's not every church you can go to and talk. because they just won't have it. They're long-faced, and they want you to hurry up and quit and get looking through clocks and watches all the time, carrying on. One man did that one time when I was preaching. I was long-winded. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. Couldn't help it. He's sitting about where you were sitting right there. He went like this. I had to call his hand, man. I couldn't help it. You can peck on that watch all you want, bro. I'm not done yet. And then I had to eat crow. He said, "Oh, Brother Shelton, I'm sorry. I wasn't saying about the time my watch stopped and I was trying to get it started." Sometimes you can be too quick. I love this passage, Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I found one. Amen. Yeah. You found one, somebody? Amen. I found a virtuous woman. For her price is far above rubies. Ooh. You can't buy. I couldn't buy somebody like her. I can't afford her. One gospel singer said one time to me, he seen me and my wife standing together. He looked at her, he looked at me. He said, "Ooh, we can't. She's way over your head." That sure brings you back to norm, doesn't it? I said, "You know what? You're right." Proverbs 31:11. I'm going to make this the last one. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. Notice, because she's a virtuous woman. I found out it's just the way we talk to each other, the way we ask questions, the way we deal with it. You can break the old husband's heart so easily with just a little kindness and a way to do it in a loving way, and vice versa. But sometimes we get hard-headed and we're just going, you know, we need to move. And she can come up and she's my balancer. Because people have said sometimes, "You're just a little bit too blah, 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 sometime, and you need your wife to balance you." Yes, I do. God said to help me. Isn't it right to balance? It's good to have that. But the passage of Scripture says here, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Now, I didn't mean to lie to you, but I want to read one more. Proverbs 31:28. Because it's so good. Notice this, what happens. Because she's what? She's a virtuous woman. You can't buy her. She's priceless. And the heart of her husband does trust, he trusts in her. Safely he trusts in her. And then Psalms 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praiseth her. Shouldn't that what we should be doing? If you've been blessed with a good spouse, you've been blessed with a good family and good children, let the children know you love them. Let them know you're going to be there and you're going to try to correct and you're going to try to encourage and strengthen them. But you love them as you love your spouse. And watch that family tree begin to prosper and watch it begin to grow. And where there's been a little separation and a little bit of division, watch it. Get those roots deeper in the soil of God's Word. It begins to grow and it gets sweeter as the day goes by. I think she gets sweeter as time goes by. She looks sometime and we look at the mirror and she says, "Oh, honey, look what time does." It's what's inside that counts. It does it to all of us. But let's, by the grace of God, commit to Him today, this family, that we're going to, right? We're going to work with each other. We're going to talk things out. We're going to pray things out. We're going to make sure, as we've seen all the ways, or just several ways that the enemy has come in to try to divide, you're not going to let that happen. Be careful who watches your children, who they spend a lot of time with. That's where they learn all their bad habits. Keep them close to your side. Keep them close to your heart. And watch your family tree sprout. Because I read that one passage and I couldn't help but think of my brother Danny over here. Talks about, you know, the Bible says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Is that all right to say that? Yeah, happy is a man. That simply means he's that the quiver, you know, they put the arrows into. It's a covering. He has a covering for his family. And a man is happy when he has a house full of children, when they're raised in the admonition of the Lord. It brings happiness and joy and peace like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then you have a little Jill for a wife. You cannot beat that. That's just short of this side of heaven. Pray. If there's anything holding them back today, any kind of separation, that we'd give it to the Lord today.
Amen.
And say, I want to be ready to meet Jesus. Yes. I know how he set it up. If I made wrong choices and da-da, by God's grace, I'm going to change those.